This week marks the 40th anniversary of the murder of Vincent Chen in Highland Park. In a racist attack, Chen was beaten to death by two men who blamed the Chinese-American man for a loss of automotive jobs. Ronald Ebens and Michael Nitz were convicted of manslaughter for Chen's death, but only sentenced to probation. Roland Wong is the president of the Asian American civil rights group American Citizens for Justice. He tells WDET's Russ McNamara that this case spurred activism for the Asian American community and changes to how convicted criminals are sentenced in Michigan.
Well, I think that one of the important elements of the Vincent Chen case was that there was no presence by the prosecutor's office at the time of sentencing. Back in 1982, the prosecutor's office didn't make it a practice to appear and treat the sentencing process as part of the criminal process. And since then, we met with the successor to Bill Cahalan. We met with the prosecutor, John O'Hare, who pledged that the assistant prosecutors from that point on would be appearing at sentencing. And so that would sort of level the playing field in terms of getting recognition of the victim's family's point of view, as opposed to the defendant's counsel's point of view in terms of what the sentencing should be. And so that's a major change in terms of, requiring and wanting the prosecution to be present at sentencing.
Michigan Third Circuit Court Judge Charles Kaufman notoriously said of Chen's killers, Ronald Ebens and Michael Nitz, "These weren't the kind of men you send to jail. You don't make the punishment fit the crime. You make the punishment fit the criminal." How did the way these men were sentenced, probation, change after this case?
Well, I think first of all, one can take issue with the rationale that a sentence should not fit the crime. I think that is, it's a very important observation that a lot of people would say that's not the way to view sentencing, that the sentencing should be fair based upon the gravity of the crime.
But did the process changed afterwards in this case? Because it seemed just so outrageous for not only for the judge to say this, the only fitting punishment was probation. It just seems like Kaufman was divorced from the reality of this case when it came to sentencing.
I think that one can look at all of the building blocks that were in place in terms of the criminal justice system and how they were changed after the case. There was no mandatory minimum sentencing at the time of the Vincent Chen case. Judges had wide latitude, I think, in terms of what the sentence could be, just giving judges pretty much carte blanche in terms of what the sentence could be. And Judge Kaufman gave that ruling of 3 years probation and $3,000 fine for the killing of Vincent Chen, which was what led to the outrage in the Asian American community. After that, and probably partly as a result of the Vincent Chen case, the Michigan Supreme Court promulgated a mandatory minimum sentencing guideline so that there would be minimums, but the judge would have to articulate a reason if he or she was going to set a sentence that was different than the mandatory minimum. So there was still latitude for a judge to make a ruling that's different from the sentencing guideline, but it would have to be something indicated on the record. And so mandatory minimum sentencing, has been the rule since, in large part, I think, thanks to this case and other cases where people would view that the sentencing didn't fit the crime.
When we watch coverage of a trial and someone's sentencing nowadays, we're very accustomed to seeing people related to maybe someone who has been killed or the people who have been directly impacted by those who are getting set to be punished. We see their statements on the news all the time. But before this case, victim impact statements didn't really exist in a consistent way across Michigan courts. How do you think that has changed sentencing, even aside from the official guidelines? How do you think that's impacted criminal justice in Michigan?
That's a very important element, I think, for the justice system to give the victim's family the ability to make a statement about the loss. And it's something that actually American Citizens for Justice employed in a case since then. There was a case of a researcher at Wayne State University who was shot by a 12-year-old with a handgun in or near the Wayne State campus, and we flew the sister of the victim here from Seoul, Korea. And so that was a very dramatic occurrence to hear that testimony at the Frank Murphy Hall of Justice.
We've seen a rise in hate crimes directed towards Asian Americans since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Is there a good way to stop it, or at least reduce it through the legal system, or is it more of a necessary societal change?
I think that there are various forces that are trying to affect change. I think that there are people in the community who view the invisibility of the Asian American community in U.S. history and part of the K-12 curriculum make note of that and are trying to affect change by, you know, supporting legislation that would call for enhanced presence for Asian American experience to be in the texts of U.S. history textbooks. And that goes towards creating some visibility for the Asian American population so that we are recognized as part of the U.S. history and experience in America.